Well, it's a joy to be here with you, and as you might expect, my family had all kinds of advice for me as I was preparing to speak this morning. I mean, you can imagine if your dad were here talking today. Would that be a little unnerving, maybe, for some of you? Well, apparently they thought I was going to show up in pajamas and have my glasses crooked and bring that book that all dads carry around with them everywhere they go, Dad's Dumbest Jokes. So they made sure to give me all the tips of what not to do or what not to say, and I'm sure I'll hear about that little opening statement. But I'm so grateful that my children get to be a part of Cedarvale University. God is doing a wonderful work here on this campus, and He's brought an amazing group of students. I've had the opportunity over the last 5 years to interact with many of you, and I'm so pleased that my kids get to rub shoulders with you. I know the Spring Creek Church crew that's here. Are you guys here somewhere? One of you. Great. That's terrific. We've got one student. Actually, we've got a lot of students. I'm not sure where they are. But I know they're the cream of the crop from Pewaukee, Wisconsin. Or that area. Okay, we got two students here. And if they represent the quality of the rest of you, which I believe they do, God is doing a wonderful work in the students here at Cedarville University. I am a fan of chapel, and so I'm glad that you're here. I'm thankful that Cedarville, Dr. White, is committed to having you here in chapel. It was in chapel at Cedarville College at the time that I felt the call of God on my life to become a full-time pastor. So I hope that your experience is like mine, and that being under the Word of God and godly teachers is going to be a tremendous impact in your experience here. I need to thank Dr. White for the honor of being here, and my pastor, Chip Bernhardt, is on the trustees. It's really his honor to speak to you, and he gave that to me today, so I'm thankful for that. Hey, do you ever think about what your life will be like after your Cedarville experience? I imagine some of you came here to prepare for that, right? Do you think about what your family will be like? What your kids will be like? Do you think about the events that might occur and the experiences you might have after Cedarville University? Well, I suppose those of you who are juniors and seniors are thinking about it more than those of you who are freshmen or sophomores. I know when I was here, I wondered, what's my life going to be like? You know, what's going to happen? Of course, I couldn't predict it, and you can't predict the events that are coming, but there is something that you can know. There's something that I know is going to be a part of your life, because I've experienced it. I mean, it's this. Your life is going to intersect with tons and tons of other people. You're going to come across the paths of all sorts and all kinds of people. And those people, those relationships have great potential for your life and the outcomes and the experiences that you have. You see, they have great potential to bless your life beyond what you can imagine. I'd love to tell you about it over lunch. But they also have the potential to bring incredible pain and hurt and mayhem into your life. After 25 years of being out of school, you can imagine that I've had all kinds of people come through my life. Being a pastor, I get to be intimately involved in the ins and outs of people's lives, young and old, rich and poor, people in tremendous pain and chaos, and people whose lives are blessed. That's what I want for you as Cedarville students, and that's what I want to talk to you about. Well, today, one of the individuals that I met right after I graduated, in fact, he was a part of the interview process for my first ministry. His name was Bill. Bill's a personal friend of mine. He has been now for 25 years. One of the things I really enjoyed doing with Bill was golf. Do we have any golfers? Yeah, a few of you? I know now's not that time, but it's coming, right? Golf is coming. Well, I loved playing golf with Bill, mostly because he paid whenever we played, but there are other reasons, and I'm going to tell you about them. You see, Bill was a good golfer. Bill had been golfing for many more years than I had golfed, and I was just starting. And so when I would play golf with Bill, I realized that Bill's good. And if I play more with Bill, I'm going to get good. In fact, I learned that there were some secrets that good golfers had. And Bill knew those secrets. And so he would say things to me like these little tips and tricks that were kind of maddening at the time. But he would say things like, okay, you know, you can take less club and you'll probably hit it straighter. Yeah, I want to take less club. Or he would say, as I'm getting ready to hit a ball into the green, he'd say, just aim for the center of the green. Don't shoot for the cup. It's off to the right. The sand trap's right there. Just aim for the center of the green. Or when I'm standing over a putt, just hit it 3 inches past the hole or keep it on the high side of the cup. And I'm thinking, I want it in the cup, not past the cup, not above the cup. I want it in the cup. But then I observed Bill's golf game. And he was using those same tips and tricks. And his scores were considerably lower than mine. You see, Bill had learned how to play golf. And he knew if he applied those simple tips and tricks, it made a big impact on the result. And it really did for my game as well. You know, Bill was also a financial advisor, and he was a coach type. And he began to give me financial counsel, and that's turned into 25 years of financial counsel, guidance, and accountability. You see, Bill understood God's word and the stewardship of that he requires of us as God's people. And he coached me on those things, just little simple things that have made a tremendous impact and have blessed my life. And Bill represents scores of people I could list. Steve and Eric and Jack and Jan and Chip and Dave and Ev and my mom and dad. People who have blessed my life with God's truth. And when I applied their counsel, my life has been blessed of God. And so, the difference that they made in my life is the difference that I want to share with you today. And the question I want you to ponder is this as we start. Who will I listen to? Who will I listen to? Because my life is largely shaped by the people I choose to listen to. Now, you can't always choose the people that you're going to cross paths with. You can't always choose some of the relationships that you have. But you can choose who you're going to spend your time with. You can choose who you're going to allow to speak into your life. You can choose who you are going to listen to. And here's a nugget that we're going to flesh out. Here's what I learned after graduation, and I'm still learning. Wise people are surrounded by wise people. It's a simple truth that has profound impact and will have profound impact in your life. So let me ask you, would you rather? You like that game, Would You Rather? Do you know that game? I hate that game. You know why I hate that game? It gives you two bad options. Who wants to choose from two bad options? Not me. It's like, would you rather be a Buckeye fan or a Patriots fan? No. See, these people are clapping because they know that's two bad options. Except for that guy. I know, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have brought that up. So I'm not going to do that to you. I'm going to give you the reality of life. There isn't just two bad options. Would you rather your life be filled with blessing, favor and joy, or mayhem, trouble, and turmoil? Blessing, favor, joy, mayhem, trouble, turmoil. I hope that your choice is obvious, that you want the blessing of God in your life, the favor of his hand, and the joy of Jesus Christ. And you do have a choice in your life, and that choice is largely who you will listen to, because who you listen to will greatly impact your life. So I want to focus our minds right now on a piece of gold from God. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. That is gold, and I want to talk about it. It's simple, and yet it's a profound truth. So, number one, embrace the cause and effect relationship of relationships. Embrace that there really is a cause and effect relationship of relationships. The people that surround you will help you or they will hurt you. You can embrace this truth and leverage it to your advantage and to your benefit. God wants you to know this as you enter into your adult lives. He wants you to know it now to begin to apply it. Because relationships can work to your blessing or your detriment. The intent and the construction of this verse is really simple. It's really, really simple. You become just like the people that you associate with. Walk with the wise, become wise. Pal with fools, suffer a fool's fate. Because wise people think wise thoughts, do wise things, go to wise places, and are guided by wisdom, they enjoy the safety and the benefits of their ways. Fools, on the other hand, they think stupid thoughts, do stupid things, help me out, go to stupid places, and are guided by stupidity. And as a result, they suffer the brutality of their own folly. The author of the pulpit commentary I was reading, gave a few world proverbs that are similar to this. He that lives with cripples learns to limp. Now, that's not dogging people who are crippled. That's just suggesting that if you hang around with people who are crippled, you're going to learn how to limp. You're going to be like that. The Spanish proverb says that he that goes with wolves learns to howl. I mean, we all know this is true. We've all seen Tarzan, right? I just watched that the other night with my daughter. Or how about this English proverb? He that lies down with dogs shall rise up with fleas. I like that one. It's true. It's as simple as 1 + 1 = 2, touch fire, get burned. That's what this cause and effect relationship is about. My best friend growing up was a dairy farmer. Any dairy farmers? I figured we'd have a few. Well, there is some real cause and effect realities to being a dairy farmer. The first that I think of my best friend Tim is that he had brute strength. Oh my goodness, was he strong. He was strong because he worked hard all the time, like all day, the poor guy. I couldn't get him to soccer practice because he had to work all the time. He was arm wrestling with seniors when he was in eighth grade and beating them simply. In fact, the only person he couldn't beat was his sister. I'm not kidding you. She had brute strength. She was also very sweet. So I just want to make sure Jody hears that. You are the sweetest thing in the world. I'm not messing with Jody. Another reality to being a dairy farmer is Tim would often show up with yellow hands. Anyone, any of the dairy farmers know, could tell us why he had yellow hands? Iodine. Yeah, I can't explain it completely, but I know it was a part of a solution that they would use, I think, to clean the udder before they attached the suckers. And so it was very strong, and it would turn his hands yellow. Is that right? Am I right, dairy farmers? Yeah. Another thing that was really obvious is his shoes, his clothes, his car, he smelled like cow dung. Poor guy. Hang out with cows, smell like poo. That was the proverb for Tim. It just was, and he knew it, and it was cool. Let's do something real fun. Turn to your neighbor, the person you're sitting next to. You're creative. Give them your own cause and effect proverb. Like, you go to Taco Bell, you can, whatever. Ready? I'm gonna give you 20 seconds. Ready? Go. All right, let me get you back. All right. So that's fun. I ask you to do that, to etch in your mind this cause and effect relationship of relationships. Hopefully that will help you remember that this is true and it's from God. Now, your proverbs aren't necessarily true and from God, but the one that we're talking about is. And when you embrace it, you begin to see there are benefits that are for you that God has, and you will begin to see the benefits of seeking people who are seeking God. And that's my second thought here from Proverbs 13. Embrace that God wants you to seek him by seeking out others who seek him. Walk with the wise. Seek out people who are wise. Find them. Search them out. Seek people who are wise. These are people who have recognized that wisdom isn't just out there. You just don't go out and find it on trees. You don't necessarily go to the library and find it. Wisdom is from God. He is the author. And so that's where it's found. So I'm going to give you five things that I think are criteria for evaluating who are the wise people you're seeking. This is Mike's personal evaluation list, okay? I do believe these are biblical. But here they are. Number one, people who have their eyes fixed on Jesus. You see, they have a point that they're committed to, that they're going to. They have owned that they should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else, the issues of life, they'll be taken care of. They're not seeking the issues and the events of life. They're seeking Jesus, and their eyes are fixed on him. Number two, they're known to love God's word. Their life is governed by this book. It's directed by what God has to say, and they love it. They spend time in it. When you talk to them, they're talking about God's word. When you need advice, where does it come from? God's word. They love God's word. Thirdly, they have a track record of life success. You see, these people haven't made a dumpster fire of their lives. They are not a train wreck. And they have the benefit of life experience. And they have learned to navigate it in such a way that they are living it successfully. They have experience on their side. Number four, they have a distinguishable gift. Now, you remember my friend Bill? At the beginning, my friend Bill is gifted to understand finances. He understands God's word and what it has to say about it and how that works out in life. And so I listen to Bill. He has a distinguishable gift. So look for people like that. I have other pastors in my life who are gifted pastors. Clearly get God's hand of favor on them. I listen to them when it comes to pastoring, because they're gifted. And then finally, they are known to pray. They have the practice of spending time with God regularly. A man in our church named Frank just passed away. He was one of our shut-ins that we would visit. When I would visit with Frank, I would listen. Because I was there to encourage him, but you know it was God's way of encouraging me, which is generally the case. The privilege of a pastor is to spend time with people. And I got to spend time with so many of our seniors who blessed my life. And you know what they did? They prayed. And they prayed for me and Bryce. When I would visit Frank, I'd try to be an encouragement to him. And you know what he would say? Well, how is your family? How is Bryce? How is Braden? How is Taylor? Tell me about what's going on in their lives. Frank has never met my children. And that would be true time and time and again as I would spend time with the seniors in our church. They were praying. Those are the people to listen to because they have their eyes fixed on Jesus. They love the Word of God. They have the experience of life on their side. They're further down the road. They've done it. They have a distinguishable gift and they pray. I think if you use those as a guide, as a criteria, it's going to really help you as you evaluate who you're going to listen to, who has wisdom. And then we're also going to be seeking people who listen specifically to God. And this is a critical point. And I want to contrast for you King Rehoboam and King Hezekiah. We don't have time to look at these texts, but write down 2 Kings 18 through 20. That's King Hezekiah. And 1 Kings 12 through 14, it's Rehoboam. You see, these two kings are very distinguishable. They're different because Hezekiah was characterized by God's blessing and favor. Rehoboam characterized by mayhem, trouble, turmoil in his life. In fact, look at these verses. King Hezekiah, it's said of him in 2 Chronicles, "In everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple and in the obedience to the law and the commands, he sought God and worked wholeheartedly, and so he prospered." You see, Hezekiah's life was characterized by blessing, the favor of God, and the joy that he gives. Rehoboam, on the other hand, 2 Chronicles and 1 Kings says that he did evil because he did not set his heart on seeking the Lord. And so there was continual warfare between Rehoboam and Jeroboam. His life could be more characterized by mayhem, turmoil, trouble, chaos, no fun. Students, I want you to have fun in your life. Fun comes from blessing, from living in God's parameters. Hezekiah, let me tell you about what happened. So Hezekiah, when he became king, they were being oppressed by the Assyrian king, Sennacherib. And Sennacherib came and he's standing outside the walls and he's cursing Hezekiah. He's cursing the Lord saying, "Don't listen to Hezekiah. He's just full of baloney." That's my translation. It's full of baloney. And he's going to tell you to trust the Lord, but the Lord has no power. I have power and I am going to take you out. The word comes to Hezekiah. What's he gonna do? He's a new king. He immediately goes to the temple of the Lord. And he begins to pour his heart out before the Lord. And then he does something else. He sends his advisors, his counselors out to see somebody, some scrub named Isaiah. "Go tell Isaiah and ask him what we should do." Listen to what Isaiah says. He says, "Tell your master," this is 2 Kings 19, "Tell your master, this is what the Lord says." He didn't start with anything else. He wanted Hezekiah to know what? Listen to the Lord. You see, he sought out a someone who sought out God because that's what matters. Rehoboam, on the other hand, so Rehoboam's story is, Rehoboam is the son of Solomon. Solomon died, so Rehoboam is going to become king. As they're getting ready to set him up as king in Shechem, the Israelites hear about this, and Solomon's old enemy, Jeroboam, who had been in Egypt, also hears about it. So he comes and he presents himself before Rehoboam. He says, "Oh, King Rehoboam, since you're going to become king, here's what our request is, the people of Israel. Lighten our load. Your father made it hard on us. He worked us too hard. He taxed us too hard. He made our life miserable. Lighten our load and we will serve you. Rehoboam says, okay, that's a great request. Appreciate that. Go away for 3 days, come back, and I'll give you my answer. So in the meantime, Rehoboam goes to the elders who advised Solomon, his father. These are guys who have seen it, done it. These are guys who have seen the ramifications of Solomon's decisions. They're still around. What should I do? Rehoboam says. And they say, oh, king, this is an easy one. We got this. Here's what you do. You speak kindly to them. You treat them with kindness. Be their servant and lighten their load, and they will serve you. All right, that's great. I mean, who wouldn't listen to that? But the scripture says that Rehoboam forsook their counsel. He rejected their advice, and he went to his friends, literally his friends, the people who understood him, who knew him the best. He says, well, that's what they said. What do you say? What should I do with these people? And they said, well, that's silly advice. What you should do is let them know how powerful you really are. If you want to be great, tell them that you're going to make their yoke harder, heavier, that you're going to give them more work. Show them your power, O great king. And of course, he took their advice. And as a result, the kingdom of Israel was divided into the northern and the southern kingdom. You see, we need to seek people who seek God. And we seek God by seeking out people who seek God. So seek out the wise and walk with the wise. Walk with them. This isn't just a stroll in a park that we're talking about here. This isn't a one-time meeting in Renova or Stingers. Is it Renova? Is that right? Did I get that right? Okay. Beans and cream or whatever it is down the way. This isn't that. It's not a one-time situation. Walking with the wise is a lifestyle statement. When you walk with the wise, you spend your time with them. You closely observe their behaviors and their decision making, and you make a practice of applying their counsel. Well, some people make the mistake of giving themselves a daily diet of foolishness, whether it's on Instagram, Facebook, news channels, constantly filling their minds and listening to all kinds of things, seeing all kinds of values. Now, I'm not saying Instagram's bad, Facebook's bad, news channels are bad. I'm not saying that. But if that is your steady stream of influence, don't expect that when you need wisdom, you're going to actually hear it and listen to it. God wants us to walk with the wise. So here's my counsel to you, and it seems really simple, but remember, simple things have profound effect. When you leave these doors and the halls of Cedarville, get involved with a church. I know, that seems really oversimplified. But that's where wisdom is found, in the people of Christ's church. I didn't say attend, I said join. I mean join a church, make it your church, and then do this, join a group. Find a place to serve and find a way to spend time with older people. You see, in my life, I've been a pastor since graduation, but it is the people, the relationships that God has brought into my life that have brought blessing and favor and joy. And I've interacted with thousands of people, and many of them, their lives are characterized by mayhem, turmoil, trouble, because they're not listening to the right people. So find them in your church. Very proud of my daughter, who's going to be married in June. One thing I'm proud of her is the selection of her mate. Some of you know Paolo. Now, Paulo, if you're listening, I want you to know there are things you and I are going to talk about. But one thing I appreciate about you, I don't want him to get a big head. Did you know what he did? He went to Chicago, got a job. And because of the advice of his advisors, counselors, people here at Cedarville, and some others, he immediately found a church. He got involved. And now he has godly men and women who are speaking into his life, a single guy in the city of Chicago on his own. You see, he's setting himself up for blessing and favor. Students, that's what I want for you. That's what you want for your life as you envision it in the years to come. Let me finish with this point. Embrace people who are humbly serving King Jesus rather than urgently building their own kingdom. Don't mistake achievement and success for wisdom. Some of the biggest fools I know drive the nicest cars, success, achievement. Have the best jobs, achievement, success. Go on the best vacations, achievement, success. And they talk the biggest game. Sadly, some of them are Christian leaders. Don't mistake achievement for success. So listen to the wisdom and counsel of James in James chapter 3. Don't miss this. My daughter told me don't make a big point at the end, but this is the end. It's a big point. You can't miss it. James 3. You can follow along on the screen. Who is wise and understanding among you? Who are the people you should listen to? Who are the wise and understanding? They will show it, and let them show it by their good life, by the deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. That kind of wisdom does not come from heaven, but it's earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you'll find disorder, chaos, mayhem, trouble, and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. That's who you embrace. That's who you listen to. So if you would rather your life be filled with blessing, the blessing of God, the hand of favor of God, and the joy of Jesus, then seek God by seeking people who seek him. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to see all these bright and young faces, and some not quite as young. What potential they have. I know you have a purpose and a plan in their, for their lives. Oh God, please help them follow that plan. By your Spirit, work in them powerfully that they might follow you and find people who follow you that will advise them, will give them counsel, and then help them to listen because it's the path of blessing. Be honored this day. Be glorified in all we do. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen.